WFAE Podcasting is funded by Corporate Information Technologies, helping businesses take a proactive approach to technology. CIT, let us show you how good IT can be. corp-infotech.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. By now, you've seen the maps detailing street closures, parade routes, and other restrictions that will go into effect during the week of the Democratic National Convention in September. At first glance, it may appear that you can't get here from just about anywhere else, but we are assured that is not the case. We are told that if you live, work, or simply want to come downtown during the convention, you will be able to get here, but it will take a little planning and effort, and you should allow for additional time for your journey, even if it's on foot. This hour, we try to drill into what we have to endure for the week of the convention. We've invited leaders of the Charlotte Chamber and their public relations person, leaders of the Charlotte Center City Partners Organization and their PR person, personnel from the Charlotte Office of the Secret Service, and the mayor or his spokesperson to be with us for the hour, but no one in those organizations was available. The most open convention ever. So in lieu of those folks, we've invited two journalists who have had access to many of those people in the course of reporting this story, and one of them is Julie Rose, of course, who is with WFAE News. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Mike.
Well, wait a minute. You're on the wrong microphone. Let me bring you up. Good morning, Julie.
Hello, Mike.
There we go. And, of course, we also invited Susan Stabley, a staff writer for the Charlotte Business Journal, to join us. Hopefully she will be here shortly. There was an article in Mark Washburn's column this morning in the Charlotte Observer mentioned Susan because she had tried to get into a meeting of business residents, I think, last night or yesterday.
People who work uptown, I believe it was yesterday afternoon.
And she couldn't get in because she was press, and we'll talk about that. So Hopefully she knows that she can get in here today. The street closure plan was released last week. It closes 13 downtown streets to traffic. It stops the links at Stonewall. It moves the transit center several blocks to 3rd and Graham. It provides for traffic and pedestrian checkpoints for those coming into or near the restricted area. So what entity drew up the plan? Do we know who was involved and who?
Yeah. So this is standard. This is what this is the kind of plan that comes out 4 to 6 weeks before every political convention. It came out for the Tampa convention, RNC, a few weeks ago, and then this came about 2 weeks after that. It is my understanding is that it is a process that's led by the Secret Service and the Department of Homeland Security, and it's pretty standard in terms of like what they're looking to do and some of the protocols that they have. And then they partner closely with local law enforcement. So my understanding from what they've said is that CMPD has been very closely involved in this process all along. In fact, we know that they've been coordinating with the Secret Service. We've even seen some of those emails back and forth that they've had over the course of the last 18 months. So, you know, because, of course, the local folks understand traffic patterns and they understand, you know, some of the road challenges and so forth here. And so it's been a collaborative process from what we've been told.
What we've been told, because I'm wondering how much the Secret Service actually came into this. We heard a rumor not too long ago that in 2008, the restrictions that they wanted to impose on Denver for the Democratic Convention were considered so onerous by the mayor of Denver that he refused to comply with them and threatened to withhold the certificate of occupancy for the convention hall if they didn't change the plan. So they altered the plan, we are told. I don't know if that's true or not. And so the Secret Service vowed that they would never back down again, and we are the recipient of that vow.
What is interesting is that on the day that the Secret Service plan was released, it's a 15-page document that has a bunch of maps in it, talks of detailed closures block by block and where the checkpoints will be, the times, and the closures change from day to day depending on the time and the location that you are uptown. So the day that was released, the city also held its own press conference with the local transit authority, the mayor, the CMPD folks, the school district, and they released their own maps that actually have more closures, more restrictions than what the Secret Service plan, the Homeland Security plan, entails. So For what that's worth, there's the city, you know, it appears, and we have been told by the police here in Charlotte and the, you know, city leaders that they are looking to make sure this is as orderly and as safe as possible. And for example, the Secret Service plan does not actually, the closure maps do not actually make any restrictions on Tryon Street.
Right.
It doesn't go that far, but the city's plans actually do go on to Tryon Street, changing traffic patterns there, as well as you know, some restrictions on pedestrians and so forth.
Aren't they trying to make Tryon Street one way at some point?
Right. Depending on the day. So Tuesday and Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday during the convention, when most of the action is happening over at the arena, Time Warner Cable Arena, it will be one way going north. Tryon Street will, and then on Thursday, everything sort of shifts, and the action moves towards Bank of America Stadium, where the President Obama will give his speech that evening. And a portion, so on Tryon from 3rd South, will be one way going south. So, CDOT was involved in this as well, really trying to and CMPD Chief Monroe has said that, you know, they consider probably their greatest challenge during the DNC will be traffic management, control, just getting all the cars going in the right direction.
Well, I notice you have several great big maps in front of you. We've only seen the little tiny maps that are about 3 inches wide in the paper.
Right.
Where do people, because this does change day to day, and it may change hour by hour depending upon what's going on. Where do people find out about this?
There are a couple of places you can go. The city has a website that's actually got quite a bit of information and links to the maps every day, and that's at dncinfo.charlottenc.gov, I think. Go to Charmec.
So easy.
Go to the city's website, type in DNC. You're bound to come up with the DNC info page. And there are actually quite a few links there. Also talks about, you know, what the restrictions will be in terms of what you can bring downtown and so forth. And then the Center City Partners folks, who of course want to encourage as much action downtown as possible during the DNC, they've partnered with the host committee, which is helping to put the convention on. And they've got a website as well that has some pretty useful information, a little FAQ that can give you some more details. And so that's it. I think that the easiest way to get to that is to go to charlotteintwentytwelve.com/security.
We'll put all this on our website at wfae.org/charlottetalks shortly.
And the key, like you said, Mike, I mean, the key thing to remember is that just because the closures that you experience on Saturday work for you, don't expect that those are going to be the same on Sunday and on Monday and on Thursday. I mean, it truly does change every single day where the pedestrian checkpoints are that you'll need to go through, what streets are one way or two way or closed entirely, where you can park. It changes. You're going to have to be involved in that and be aware.
Is that because they want to keep us on our toes and they want to keep potential troublemakers they want to make them work for their efforts? Seriously, I mean, is that why they're changing it every day?
My understanding, the idea was to try and limit the impact as much as possible on traffic and at movement downtown. And so if you're going to have why do we need all of it closed if on Saturday what they're really addressing is, you know, is the various protest activities that are going to be happening on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
And then things change on Monday because it's Labor Day, and that's the day there's the big Carolina Fest down Tryon Street. So it's obviously going to be closed that day for the big street festival. And then, of course, Tuesday and Wednesday, everything's at the Time Warner Cable Arena, and then it all shifts over to Bank of America Stadium. So really, I think it has a little more to do with where stuff is happening.
Okay. The links that you mentioned are already up on our website at wfae.org/charlottetalks. Prior to the plan being announced, Michael Smith, who is, of course, CEO of Charlotte Center City Partners, told you, Julie, that the details in the plan shouldn't come as a surprise to uptown businesses because the Secret Service and CMPD work with the major employers, and there were good lines of communication open during the process in advance of the plan being announced. Now that the plan has become public, would businesses, do you think, agree with Michael Smith's assessment?
Well, the businesses that that I've spoken with, who are, for example, large businesses that have a lot of employers downtown, Duke Energy, for example. I know my colleague Lisa spoke with Bank of America. They have been telling their employees for many, many moons, you know, don't work downtown unless you have to that week. Only, you know, critical personnel or necessary personnel need to be downtown. Work from home if you can. Work at one of our remote locations. I know you know, some of the banks are, Bank of America, I think, has a big location down in Ballantyne where they're going to be sending a lot of folks. So they clearly have had an inside ear into the challenges that would, I mean, they may not have known exactly which streets were going to be closed and which ones would be one way or where the parking would be limited. But clearly they have known this will be a difficult week, an unconventional week for traffic. Now, in terms of businesses doing business downtown, Center City Partners has said that they've been having these regular meetings, just like the one yesterday that Susan Stabley tried to get into and couldn't yesterday with the host committee. And so there has been communication happening. I mean, my sense is that if you're a small business and or a business in downtown and you've worried about what's going to happen and how your employees are going to get there, they've been telling you as much as they could tell you, but until we actually had this plan from the Secret Service, we didn't know the exact details.
Of course, we don't know precisely, I don't think officially, we don't know precisely what was said in those meetings with business people because it was closed to the press. And I'm curious your reaction to that. Now, Mark Washburn wrote a column about this in the paper, and he mentioned Susan Stabley, who was to be with us this morning, not being able to get into yesterday's meeting. Mm-hmm. He said, I simply walked in, sat down, took out my pad, and took notes. And he said there was nothing in that meeting that should not have been open to the public or open to the press. There was nothing discussed that was super top secret. And the reason he was given for the press not being invited was that they felt that the dynamics in the room changed when the press was present. This is supposed to be a really open convention, and the city is supposed to be trying to help the Democrats make this an open convention. And so far, the impression is that much of the convention is very, very, very closed, very locked down. Why do you think that is? And is that your impression?
It's tricky because I think when the host committee and the DNC talk about this being the most open and accessible convention, they're not talking about open and accessible to you or me, the press, necessarily, in terms of the inner workings of the convention. What they're talking about is America being able to come and experience and see what's happening the week of the convention. That open accessibility has not translated to the last 18 months and folks like us who want to know exactly where things are at every given point. How much money have you raised? Has it been a challenge? Are you who's involved in the money raising?
Where's the $50 million for security? How is it being spent?
How is the security money being spent? Who's making these decisions about which streets are going to be closed exactly? Why, when are we going to know those things? Which, people were local businesses were clamoring to know that stuff 5 months ago, but of course it only comes through a month before the the convention is set to happen. So I guess open and accessible depends on who you're talking about.
Is all this secrecy or all this reluctance to reveal certain things on the part of the meeting people yesterday, and I'm not sure who was in charge of that meeting yesterday.
It was the host committee, my understanding is.
Well, is that the convention's fault? Is it the host committee's fault? Is it the city's fault? Is it the Secret Service's fault? Who's to blame?
For that meeting being closed?
All these things being held back.
Well, what has been, I think, a learning experience for a lot of us in the local press as well as a challenge is that there is not one sort of overlord for the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte. There are various different components that are being driven by different bodies. So, for example, when we ask, this is, when you, for example, ask the Democratic National Convention folks who are here from, from the Democratic National Convention Committee, you ask them, how much money have you raised? They will say, well, it's the host committee's job to raise the money. You got to go ask them. So the host committee is this local group of led by Dr. Dan Murray. It's a local nonprofit that was established to support and put on these events. The host committee has some hospitality and fundraising responsibilities. Separate from the DNC, they're kind of the same thing, but they're very different. So there's a lot of ball passing, the same thing as with security. You ask them, they say, talk to Secret Service. So
Julie Rose with WFAE News. We'll continue our conversation about the week of the convention in a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Hendrick Acura in Charlotte, introducing the all-new 2013 Acura ILX compact luxury sedan. Fuel efficiency and available hybrid technology at the push of a button. Details at HendrickAcura.com. Well, once upon a time in a land far, far away, there was an airline that many travelers actually liked. It grew from a small regional carrier that flew very few places, but mostly to the places the big guys didn't go, and gained a decades-long reputation for quality. And that airline was called Piedmont, and Charlotte was their first and most successful hub. Nostalgia for Piedmont Airlines is strong, and we'll meet a man who has written a book and produced a documentary about that airline tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, Republican vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan's budget is now under scrutiny, especially for its changes to Medicare, what's in the plan, and how it would reshape federal entitlement programs.
That's the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks, here on 90.7 WFAE, your NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking to Julie Rose from WFAE News about the plans, the closings, the restrictions that will be in place the week of the convention in the Uptown area, where, of course, all the conventioners will be, and all the press and the media from around the country and all the protesters from around the country will be assembling. We're doing this show from our Spirit Square studio, and we're doing it only because we want to know if we can get here that week. Susan Stabley from the Charlotte Business Journal was to have been with us today, and it's our fault. It's our mistake. We gave her the wrong day, so that's why she's not here this morning. We apologize for that. Of course, the street access restrictions that we've been talking about and that will go in place for the DNC will affect those who work downtown, those who live here, those who will be working with and for the convention. And perhaps, as we've alluded to, no one will face a bigger challenge than those businesses supplying food to restaurants, to the convention, and to conventioneers at various parties scattered throughout the restricted area. So we've invited one of those vendors to join us to tell us how they're handling all of this. Jill Marcus is president of and an event stylist for Something Classic Catering and Cafe. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Who are you working for during the convention? Who are you supplying?
Who am I not working for during the convention? I think that's the question.
Is that restricted information?
No. Some of them, yes. We have three businesses on Tryon Street. Mm-hmm. Directly. We own Halcyon in the Mint Museum, mm-hmm. Which has its own set of challenges. We run the community cafe at Discovery Place. And we also have Something Classic Cafe on Tryon Street in the Hearst Tower. So there are three different businesses.
The good news for you is that Tryon Street is open and all those businesses are on Tryon
Street. It is open. There will be lots of protesters, volunteers, mm-hmm. people looking on.
And then you're also catering. Is that correct?
Oh, and I wouldn't say also catering. I think that would be the big part of our business that week.
Well, it seems to me that the food vendors, from what I read in the paper, are facing some major hurdles here because mm-hmm. all food coming into the city, whether it's for parties, whether it's for restaurants, whether I guess it's for Harris Teeter downtown, is going to be taken to a special location where? On North Davidson Street?
North Davidson Street.
Mm-hmm. How far up North Davidson are you taking?
I think it's near McGill Rose
it's
Garden.
Just right outside 277. Right outside 900 North Davidson.
Yeah. And so I think we've been having meetings with the DNC, and they have been very open. I mean, I think they started their meetings with the businesses about a year ago and have had meetings every couple of months. There hasn't been a lot of information released to us during those meetings except to say that we'll let you know, we'll let you know. Mm-hmm. So we've had to make plans knowing that they may change. I mean, you have your plan, you stick to the plan, and as it changes, you know, as caterers, we're used to that. Our corporate kitchens are in Plaza Midwood, so we're not very far from downtown. Mm-hmm. We have about a staff of about 350 people that will be working downtown that week, that will be having training meetings up over the next couple of weeks, letting people know how we're going to get them into the facility, what kind of security clearances they'll need, if any. It will definitely be a challenge.
Let's say you're catering a lunch or you're catering a breakfast for a state delegation. Mm-hmm. And the food has to go to North Davidson, and then it has to be mm-hmm. escorted into town to the location where you're hosting the event. Mm-hmm. How does that impact the normal course of doing business for you? How does it impact how you keep the food fresh and ready to go, and Maybe you're bringing in an ice sculpture. How does it impact that from not melting to, just water before it gets there?
Well, luckily, we do have a fleet of refrigerated trucks that are in our arsenal that week. We just found out this week that we will also have our own personal posse of health department inspectors that will be traveling with us and checking temperatures. Which is super exciting.
Professional food tasters for the king.
Yes, I think that's along the way. Nobody's going to get sick under their watch, for sure. Yeah. We've been catering for 23 years, so this is really not new to us. So we've done a lot of VIP
isn't this more secure than your average VIP, and by necessity, than your average VIP?
It is. So,
how is it going to impact the people who are actually working for you, as waiters, as people who clean up, as people who set the tables up, etc.? How does it impact them and how they get to where they're going?
We have rented vans. So we have about 8 vans rented for the week. So we'll be trying to get those staff. We're going to have them meet at another location, and then we're going to be bringing them in on vans to get as close as we can to the venue.
As close as you can. So mm-hmm. if you have an event, well, for instance, 7th Street, I think, the street outside this window is closed, mm-hmm. and that's the perimeter. That's the mm-hmm. northern perimeter. If you have an event at Epicenter, which is kind of in the center of it all, you have to walk from here?
What they tell us is that the service staff will probably have to walk. But that's good for everybody, right?
But the trucks
three or four
will
blocks. The trucks and the refrigeration will go to about 2 hours. We're planning about 2 hours. Although at yesterday's meeting, I did have a golden ticket to the meeting. They did tell us it would be about 15 minutes. In the security checkpoints.
To wait in the security checkpoints,
that they didn't want to hold anybody up. They wanted to get people where they're going. They wanted hospitality to continue. Mm-hmm. And I think they're committed to that. I mean, they know that the food has to get there and the servers have to get there. I don't think the service people really have that many restrictions unless it's a VIP, which there will be those. And then those folks, they can't have felonies. They can't have violent misdemeanors. There is some checking that's going on.
Is that a challenge for people in your business? I'm serious about that. That must be a flip question. Is that a challenge?
No, we don't hire people. We really, right. For the most part, there have been a couple of people who have come forward and say, 10 years ago.
Yeah. Some smaller vendors I read over the weekend actually have pulled out or declined to participate in this because they felt that restrictions would have forced them to change to change their operations in such a way that it would become more expensive than they originally thought. They couldn't charge that off to the people they've already given mm-hmm. bids to, et cetera, so they've pulled out. How have you managed to hold on to your...
We knew from the beginning that we needed to charge extra mm-hmm. for service. So most of our events, there's about 4 hours for each person that's tacked on to the bill. The rental deliveries, you can imagine the trickle-down effect from our rental deliveries are $500, where they're normally $75. We did have to cancel, for what you were just saying, on some smaller events that we were still talking to the folks. And, the deliveries and the security and the things with the health department were just more than we thought that they needed to pay for that.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Mike, can I jump in here? Can I ask you the remote location where you have to take all of your because basically anything that's not a passenger vehicle or a motorcycle has to go to these commercial deliveries have to mm-hmm. go to this remote mm-hmm. location outside of Uptown,
right. Which isn't far.
Yeah, it's not far, but they're also saying I could imagine if every single caterer has to go through there, and they're saying do it between midnight and 6 o'clock. Was that a surprise to you? I mean, how much of that had you anticipated and knew you were going to maybe have people on a 24/7 clock?
Well, I think that we maybe like 3 or 4 months ago we started here the midnight to 6 a.m. As caterers, we know that can't happen. You have to have fresh food. They know that can't happen. Maybe our vendors.
So will you all be showing up at the same time?
And won't I'm that sure slow we'll all be. Down? I assume that they're going to be well-staffed for that. I think that this week they've started asking for schedules of deliveries. We have a lot of different components.
Well, let's back up a second. That can't happen. Do these people know
they
that
know can't that can't happen. Happen.
Okay.
They know
but
that
they still
happen.
Scheduled it midnight to 6.
When I say food deliveries, that's like raw product. So we do have trucks, refrigerated trucks from some of our larger vendors that are downtown.
So this
those
would be food that goes to restaurants.
Food that goes to restaurants. We're setting up one of our catering stations at Discovery Place. So we'll have food trucks at Discovery Place. We have some media things that are inside the Time Warner Cable area, which is, will be a very secure area.
How many different parties, how many different events, how many different entities are people like you, not just your organization, catering for? Because there's certain things like the media, the major network media, by union requirement, have to have lunch and dinner served to their NABIT and IEATSE people, and they have to have that. So
we're doing one of the major networks, and I know the people who are doing the other networks, the CNN and the ABCs. None of us are in the union, and we'll be there for them at 4 a.m. Wow. So we will be doing those deliveries.
So how many parties, how many different things, seriously, are going on for all these caterers that work in Charlotte? How many?
I'm hearing there's over 700 events that they've booked. Our first event starts out on Saturday with about 10,000 people at the media party.
So nobody's listening, just between you and me. How of your fellow business people, not just in the restaurant business, but fellow business people are happy about this, are looking forward to this, are thinking this is a good thing for my business, it's a good thing for Charlotte?
I think everybody in the hospitality business is happy about it. There may be some moans and groans and you know, they're asking a lot of us during this time. People working overtime.
Just before we started this conversation, you said there are things that you know that you cannot talk about.
Right.
Okay, I get that. Why, though?
Well, I think that for us, I mean, we're contracted with some of the local DNC committee. We're contracted with news organizations at some of the facilities here in town, that there's insider information about security where they actually do let us know because we need to know. But they really don't want us telling anybody for security reasons. So, you know, we do know where some of the vice presidents and presidents will be, and the bands. You know, we can't talk about what the musical entertainment's going to be or who the guests are going to be or who the stars are going to be. We're not allowed to talk about those things.
Do you talk in your sleep? Maybe we need to put a recording device in your bedroom.
I know what parties I will be at just for personal reasons. I'm really excited about the convention. I was a political science major in college, and I actually went to school with Dan Murray. He was in my classes, and we took very different paths, but this is the closest I'm going to get to the convention. It's super exciting. Just to be behind the scenes and see it all happen.
Are you planning to sleep that week?
I think we all have cots in our kitchen.
I would believe that. Police Chief Rodney Monroe has said that people working downtown, people coming downtown to attend certain events, should simply plan 20 to 30 extra minutes in their commute to get here for that, to go through all the security checkpoint, to navigate the closed streets, etc. Do you think that's enough time? Or should it be more like an hour?
You know, he would know better than I do. But if you look at the map, for Tuesday and Wednesday, which would be the two work days where things are happening over near Time Warner Cable Arena, frankly, I was actually kind of impressed that the closures are really only affecting first and second ward. I mean, yes, there are a lot of businesses that are in those areas, but it's not as though the entire Uptown Loop is going to be on lockdown. It is true that there are, but your access, you won't be able to take your normal streets to get there. You're going to have to look at the maps beforehand and figure out where is the checkpoint that you need to go through. Because there will be there's a specific checkpoint if you're going to one quadrant. There's a specific checkpoint if you're trying to access a certain quadrant coming from a different direction. And so, I mean, you'll need to know that. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, if you have not looked at a map, it could take you two extra hours to get to work.
I did look at the map, and I just figured from where I live, I can't do it. I probably can't do it.
You live south of Uptown?
Yeah, not easily. I can't do it.
So you need your walking shoes.
But I didn't know where the what do you call it the checkpoints would be, and I haven't seen a map in the paper at least that indicates where the checkpoints will be.
There's a list of the checkpoints.
It's a list. It's not on the map. You need to go to the list.
Now, I was actively looking, and I'm wondering how many people out there who are just average people who are not in the media, don't have to be here at a certain time, whether they actually have taken the time to look or whether they'll all be surprised on the first day they try to make this trip And that will slow everything down because everybody will be confused.
That's why it'll probably take 30 extra minutes for you to get to work.
And that's why I asked, do you think that's enough?
If nobody informs themselves, it could take a lot longer.
Yeah, you also take a look. There's some days when 277 will be closed.
Exactly. The day, and that's an important day to know. That's Thursday.
Thursday.
And also
and
77.
Into Friday morning.
77. They want you to stay off of 77.
They want 77. You to stay off it. It won't be closed, from my understanding, on 77, except for when there are, you know.
About that, because the Secret Service, I think it was the Secret Service, has asked that commercial truckers avoid I-77 from I-85 to I-485. That is a significant length from I-85 north of the city to I-485, which is well south of the city. They're recommending. They're not saying you can't use it. Will commercial truckers coming from New Jersey know that they should detour around the city? And how will they know? Will there be signs on the interstate saying, get off here?
I presume they will use their computerized signs to say, you know, commercial truckers, please don't take this route. And I think one of the reasons they're making that request is because they know that you will have, I mean, first of all, you've got delegations of who are staying from Concord to South Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And so they are going to be coming in on shuttle buses. You're going to have some additional, you know, traffic in that regard. But also, think about the entourage and the police escorts that come with high-ranking political officials. And that can slow down and shut a freeway for a period of time as it moves through. And if you add to that all of the commercial trucking traffic and the regular day-to-day traffic, yeah, I mean, you'd be wise to stay off those
routes
during those days.
If you're one of the delegations, and I think the Maryland delegation is one of those delegations, staying up in Concord, you have to take – you don't have to, but it would be advisable to take 85 to 77 south to get into the city. 85 is open to truck traffic, so wouldn't they be? Then that's the bulk of their travel because 77 from 85 to the center city is a very short amount of mileage. Wouldn't it be more advisable to close 85?
I couldn't do that.
They're
not closing 85 and 77, but they are recommending. They're asking to the extent they can get the word out. And I don't know how much of the word has gone out to like the international trucking industry yet about this, but I do know that the delegations will be coming in shuttles that the DNC and the host committee have arranged for them. So you know, I mean, a lot of this, my estimation is that they are trying to encourage people to find alternative ways to get to get into that area and to sidestep it if you don't have to go there.
Several of the big banks have, as you said already, set up satellite locations for their downtown employees. They'll be in Ballantyne. They'll be working elsewhere, or they'll be allowed to work from home in some cases, so they don't have to come down here. But there are those businesses, retail businesses, where you do have to come downtown if you're going to be open for business. And if you can't drive on these 13 streets that are closed, you also can't park in the decks that are on those 13 streets that are going to be closed. Is there enough parking outside the 13 streets to handle the people who might be coming down here to work? Do we know?
I guess we'll find out. I mean,
have people recommended places to park outside of their normal parking venues?
The recommendation is to not bring your car.
Yeah.
Get on a bus. Or take light rail light rail is going to be open from 485 up to Stonewall, then it stops. So you'll still have to get off and walk from that point. And also on Tuesday and Wednesday of the convention, the bus terminus is going to be over, like you said earlier, on Mint Street, not right across from Time Warner Cable Arena. So you'll have to maybe hop a shuttle or do a little extra walking there. So to get into Uptown, wear your walking shoes and take the bus if you can.
I'm wondering why they stopped the light rail at Stonewall. We'll come back and maybe you have some insight on that. Maybe it's just
convention center is part of the security activity.
Okay. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Levine Children's Hospital, nationally recognized among U.S. News & World Report's top 50 best children's hospitals for neonatology care and five other specialties. carolinashealthcare.org/U.S. News. Republican vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan's budget is now under scrutiny, especially for its changes to Medicare. Diane Rehm and her guests explore what's in the plan and how it would reshape federal entitlement programs in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock. If you'd like to join our conversation, we'll try to squeeze you in. 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323, 800-603-WFAE, or online at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. We're coming right back.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. Do you have a parent who should no longer drive?
No, but my kids claim they do.
Well, if you ever find yourself with an unwanted car for any reason, think about donating it to support this station. For all the details, call 1-866-789-TMCP.
TMCP?
Yeah, take my car, please.
That's 866-789-8627.
Or go to WFAE.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're in our Spirit Square studio with Julie Rose, reporter for WFAE News, and also with Jill Marcus, who's president and an event stylist for Something Classic Catering. They own three restaurants in the Uptown area and also will be catering lots of events and functions and delegations and media organizations during the Democratic National Convention. Some people from the south side of town may find it, because the parade route that they set up for protesters, which will be used constantly, uses McDowell Street and it uses Caldwell Street.
And Stonewall.
Some people from the south side of town may find it much easier to get in here using the links, which, as you said a moment ago, terminates that week at Stonewall. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have to walk into the rest of the way into the uptown area. Are they adding extra trains? I think the trains can hold 235 people per car. Are they adding extra cars? Do we know what their plans are for the links? Are they running them more frequently? What are they planning to do?
You know, I haven't heard if they're going to run them more frequently, but they're aware that that people are being encouraged to take public transportation. So yeah, there will be changes to frequency as well as routes for buses that typically go anywhere even near the uptown area. So people are encouraged to check out the CATS website to make sure. Again, you can't just count on your usual bus getting there. I mean, I thought it was a little bit amusing that I guess it was late last week, CATS actually had a webinar for people who are trying to learn how to take, I guess people who work uptown who maybe haven't taken public transit before or don't know how. Right. There was a webinar you could kind of log on from your desk and watch, follow along. And that webinar is archived online, so you can kind of learn the basics of public transit travel if that's kind of outside your thing.
So CATS, they're going to add extra buses? They're going to increase the frequency on certain routes? Do you know? Do we know?
I don't know.
Okay. Will the Gold Rush be running downtown? Those are little trolleys that run.
Yes,
downtown.
The last I heard was that yes, but it will be an altered route.
What about conventioneers? Not everybody's going to come into this city on Sunday. If you're a delegate or you're mm-hmm. with one of the states, they're not going to come in here on Sunday necessarily. They may come in Monday afternoon. They may come in Tuesday morning. By that time, all the streets will be closed. So if you're coming in from the airport and you've taken a taxi, does the taxi have to let you out with your luggage 6 blocks, 7 blocks, 8 blocks away from your hotel, or can you get in? How will they get in?
There is actually, I think there are about 7 hotels that are right inside the perimeter that's got like restricted pedestrian, and they're actually listed in the Secret Service listing. It's the Hilton, the Omni, Aloft, Ritz-Carlton, and Holiday Inn. For those, individuals are recommended to be dropped off on Tryon Street and then walk down to College to access those hotels. And there is a training, I believe, in the works, I've heard, for taxi drivers and limo drivers, and for them to kind of get some of the basics as well.
So if you're arriving late after the streets have already been closed, or you're leaving early before the streets have been reopened, you're going to have to walk with luggage. And I'm just curious about this too, because as we all know, we've talked about this before, The city manager has the power to declare an extraordinary event. It's already been declared so in this case. And when that happens, there are certain things you can and cannot carry, like backpacks and certain articles like water bottles and things like that. I get out of my cab for a week in Charlotte, and I've got 5 suitcases.
You're gonna have to
How does that work?
You'll have to go through a checkpoint with your luggage in order to get inside the security perimeter. We have been told repeatedly by CMPD folks that they're not going to be checking. They're looking for intent, I guess, is the word that I've heard them use. So, I mean, if you're a delegate with your luggage in tow, you know, and you have a water bottle on you, that is not what they're after. They are looking for the people who show up, what they've said. I mean, this is a quote, you know, people who show up with a backpack that's got like sticks and rocks in it, you know, or hanging out from it, or and they're at the day of a protest, you know, or they're, I mean, the restrictions are set up to give police the ability to search when they feel it's necessary, but they're not required to search in every instance. And
of course, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg police have probably been extensively briefed on this, but our police force is going to be augmented by thousands of police officers.
There'll be about twice as many police in Charlotte.
Will they be as familiar, or could they possibly be a little more zealous than our?
They're being briefed, and yes, they could possibly be more zealous or less. Mm-hmm. And the police department attorney has admitted that, acknowledged that. They're doing everything they can, they say. They're hoping to not have, any problems, but they can't avoid that. So
I'm told that CATS is offering transportation fares to educate folks on routes during the DNC, and you can get that information not only on our website, but at ridetransit.org, ridetransit.org. What about these pedestrian checks for people who are coming to work downtown, who want to come down and watch the convention, who want to rub elbows with the great and near great, who just want to be part of history? What should we anticipate them checking for? What should we bring? What can we bring? What should we leave at home? What should be the course of action there?
Bring your ID. That's the thing you're going to need for sure. A photo identification.
What if you don't drive and you don't have a driver's license? You don't have a photo ID. You can't come downtown?
Bring whatever you've got. That could be student ID, something that verifies who you are. If you're looking to get in, if you are trying to get within about a block and a half of Time Warner Cable Arena, mm-hmm. you'll need actual security credentials.
What if you're
17
years, 16 years old, 15 years old? You don't have a driver's license. You don't really have a student ID because you go to high school, public school. I don't think they have picture IDs. They might. Who knows? I didn't when I was a kid. So can you come downtown and watch history being made?
You can, but you can't go inside Time Warner Cable Arena, and you may not be able to get within 2.5-3 blocks.
Well, you can't go in Time Warner Arena during the convention unless you're a conventionee or a member of the media with credentials, correct?
Right.
But you could watch. You could stand behind Chris Matthews as MSNBC does their thing at Epicenter if you wanted to do that, right?
Well, Epicenter is right across the street from mm-hmm. Time Warner Cable Arena and inside or very close to. I mean, you're going to have, I think, credentials at that point. It's unclear exactly where the Secret Service perimeter that will require you to show convention credentials is actually going to be. But we do know that there will be pedestrian checkpoints essentially along starting at about Tryon Street over to about North Davidson and then from 7th on the north end to down around Martin Luther King. And so to get into that square, you will need to go through they'll funnel you to a specific checkpoint. Uh-huh. And they've said bring your ID. They're going to be checking IDs. So whatever you've got that's an ID, I don't know what's going to happen for 17-year-olds who don't. But I know that it depends on the day and it depends on where you're trying to go. And they're going to ask you, where are you going? Do you live down here? What's your business here? It's that kind of thing. I mean, it's like when you're at the airport, you know.
If you're a credentialed member of the convention or a credentialed member of the media, do you have to go through the same hoops that people who are just walking downtown have to jump through?
Yeah, you'll have to show your – I mean, they have not told us we're going to get any kind of special treatment in that regard.
You mentioned these hotels where there will be limited access. The Hilton, the Omni, the Ritz-Carlton, the Holiday Inn on College, and the Aloft at Epicenter, as well as the residence in near Bank of America Stadium on Thursday, the day that the president arrives to speak at the convention.
Right.
What will those special security zones mean for those needing access or who merely want to pass by those hotels on their way from one place to another? Do you know?
Well, you probably will not be allowed to pass by those. I mean, those places are right in on College and, I mean, are kind of right within about a block and a half of Time Warner Cable Arena. Don't plan on using any of those roads for your regular pass-through route. I mean, they're only going to be taking, and when the Bank of America action happens on Thursday, a lot of the closures are for local traffic only. So if your office is there, if you live there, you know, you're going to have to go through the checkpoint like everybody else and prove that you live there and explain where you're headed, and presumably you'll be able to get there. I mean, they've said you can go home, you can get to work, you can, but you just, you know, need to be prepared for a checkpoint.
If you live downtown, and many of the high-rise condos are in 4th Ward and 3rd Ward, and they're outside of the perimeter, but there are a few high-rises that are inside the perimeter. If you, courtside, for instance, if you live at courtside, can you get your car in and out, or you have to park it outside the perimeter and walk to it to go wherever you want to go and bring it back and park it someplace and then walk back to your condo or apartment?
Is courtside on the – what street is it on?
I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure. What they have told people is, you know, work with your building manager, your property manager when it comes to your parking garage. If the entrance to the parking garage is on one of the closed streets, you're probably going to have a little bit of trouble. So you may have to relocate your car. Your building manager should know. You're bringing up a point that I think is important for people to realize, is that there is not one set of 5 rules that everyone in the entire, you know, area is going to be able to follow. Caterers have a whole set of rules they need to be aware of that pedestrians really don't need to care about. If you live downtown, if you live inside the perimeter versus outside, I mean, you need to know specifically for yourself. Check with your manager, check with your building folks, check with your, you know, the people who operate, you know, your boss, whatever, if you work down there. And be sure you also talk to your parking garage people, because they are still trying to figure out if they're going to be open or closed. And I know there are some parking garage managers that are trying to relocate some of their regular parkers, find them space in other spots around, in their other parking garages around town.
How does this security, for lack of a better term, and I don't mean this pejoratively, this security lockdown, how does it compare to what happened in Denver, what happened in St. Paul, what will be happening in Tampa for the RNC? How does this compare? Are we getting more and more closed for these events, or is this just the normal course of affairs? And I ask because I grew up in Washington, and you know the Capitol building, although it's now restricted to traffic flow around it, and you can't get in without a pass from somebody, and you can't get into the White House tour without a pass from somebody, and you can't drive around the White House like you did when I was a kid. Things have locked down there too, but not to this degree. I mean, Washington, you can go places, and there are big federal officials everywhere in Washington. So how does this compare?
I haven't attended any other conventions, but I can tell you that this is a different world than before 9/11.
And that's what this is about?
My understanding, and let me just say, first of all, with regard to Tampa, I mean, what we're experiencing in terms of immediate closures, pedestrian, it's very similar in terms of what's exactly immediately around the arena. But we're actually lucky in that our convention locations are really close together. I mean, Tampa has their two main locations for the convention are actually in the downtown in a suburb, and there are bridges over waterways that are going to be closed. There are main arteries and thoroughfares. It is a much more, from my estimation, a much more onerous experience just because of the way their convention is going to be happening with their locations. We're lucky in Charlotte that we've got Bank of America Stadium, which is, you know, I don't know, maybe it's like a mile from Time Warner Cable Arena. And so we've got these closures in a pretty, you know, localized area. Now, let me also say that you're absolutely right that these plans change, new things get added, just like when you go to the airport and, you know, there's always something new that they're looking for or restricting, and it's a reaction to what's going on. I mean, you know, all that we've seen happen in the last 10 years, in the last 6 months around this country, that the things change. I don't know.
I hear stories from people. I did hear that in Denver that they moved where the president was going to speak at the very last minute, and that the press didn't have time to get all of their cables and networking and everything that they needed to the new place. Yeah. So I think that they did promise that they were going to stick.
A lot of
they're not going to change it.
You're not in retail, and the three businesses that you own and operate are on the street, on Tryon Street. But I know you talk to other businesses, and a lot of the retail downtown is off the street. It's in the Overstreet Mall. Mm-hmm. Has any effort been made to let the conventioneers who will not see those places unless they actively pursue walking upstairs in these buildings, that these businesses exist? Are they planning to be open, or are they just giving this up as a lost cause for the week?
I've heard some people who just aren't even going to open, especially small. I think small businesses, I mean, just getting their employees in, getting food deliveries, it's just more than probably what their sales are for the day.
I mean, we know – I do know that some businesses, there's a barber in Founders Hall that has been told that they're not going to be open. So, I mean, maybe – you know, I think a lot of it depends on the building management.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Some comments that have come in on tweets and Twitters and things like that. Dave in Charlotte wants to know, are they planning on running any tests for this plan in advance of the convention to see if there are any problems that they hadn't anticipated?
I do not think they're going to be closing streets on a Saturday just to check. I mean, I don't know that – no tests, but the extraordinary event measures and the sort of crowd control efforts, CMPD has done a number of – has implemented those a number of times in the last 6 months as a way to sort of test 4th of July, Speed Street, Bank of America earnings, that kind of thing.
A listener's wondering whether we know how all of this will affect the handicapped community. Have provisions been made to make this convention handicap-friendly?
I hope so. I presume that they have, you know, that they're going to be aware of that. But I do know this. I do know that the DNC is the host committee is contracting with CATS to help provide some of their buses that have wheelchair lifts, so that their wheelchair the delegates who are in wheelchairs will be able to easily get around and get to the places that they need to get.
Tom in York, very quickly because we're short on time. Welcome.
Just let me say, number one, I don't live in Charlotte or work in Charlotte, but it seems to me a lot of people are feeling that this is going to be nothing but a big pain to deal with, and that's probably true, but should we be giving the Secret Service and the police the benefit of the doubt the way the Republicans in general and the Koch brothers and the Tea Partiers and the other crazies in particular have been acting? It would seem to me they'd be very happy to wreck the whole thing.
Interesting point. I think we have to give the Secret Service the benefit of the doubt. We have a sitting president coming here. We have a sitting vice president coming here. Unlike the Republican convention, where no previous presidents will be in attendance, to the best of my knowledge. So it does set up a situation that's perhaps more in order to be safer than sorry. A producer at WAMU, though, yesterday, and I had a conversation. She asked me if Charlottians were still excited about the convention coming here. What are you hearing on the street?
I think there are a lot of people I know who are really excited. They think this is totally cool. They don't necessarily live or work downtown, but they're going to go check it out. I personally am a little tired after 18 months.
Julie Rose from WFAE News, thank you for your information. And Jill Marcus with Something Classic Catering. Good luck.